Hey everyone, it's Monday, March 19th, 2012, and this is episode number 59 of Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. This is Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
Special guest later on in the show, Jeff. We don't do very many guests these days. But we have Patrick Shepard, the Associate Director of the Cleveland International Film Festival. The festival is kicking off its 36th year on Thursday over at Tower City, so we're going to talk to him in a bit about everything that's coming up. But first, the St. Patrick's Day recap that everyone's waiting for. Actually, I was a little concerned that if you were actually going to be here at the show, about a half an hour before the show, I saw that you checked into Rivergate Tavern.
I did.
Which, what was going on
Got
there?
Got a quick pizza.
What was going on? Oh, pizza?
Yep. The sign auto part, the kitchen.
Normally, you're going to Heinen's for the
I kind of went off the grid, my usual Monday routine. Do you ever have the pizza? It's good if you need a quick pizza.
Yeah.
It's great.
I like that place.
Yeah, Rivergate Tavern. We'll have to ask Patrick about it when he comes in the room later.
I know.
It's one of the more unknown places, but it's still, we keep thinking it's going to go out of business.
Yeah, I think it's might be a front or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity in the back room. A lot of trucks coming and going.
Right.
With pizza and quotes on the side.
Mm-hmm. Also, before St. Patrick's Day, so Friday, I finally got my iPad. I got the iPad 3.
That's exciting for you.
It was very exciting for me. So, brought to the office, and it was my first iPad. Some people, you know, they have different models of the iPad. This, I was brand new to it. So finally, because you had one, and I felt really jealous of you because you know nothing about technology.
That put you over the edge. I feel like then you got really bitter and determined.
Oh, boy. Then I was on a mission.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, I'm getting an iPad. Even if I don't use it, I just need to know that I have it because I have something that's better than what Jeff has.
That's right.
So
I had a good month there, though, where it was just me. My star shone brightly that month.
That's right.
It was really a nice run.
Don't get too used to it.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day. And by the way, Jeff, we called it here first on episode 58.
We did. We're the only radio show in Cleveland to
No one else was saying this. We predicted here half a million people.
I think I said 800 for the record, but you said 500.
No, I think
I upped it. But the day of,
Check the tape.
Day of, though, I called it. The weather was so nice that morning, I wanted to double my prediction.
So 500,000 people, I don't know how they actually make these.
How do you, it's just a big ballpark. That's a good question.
I think from the police forces, they fly above and they can use something to kind of figure out, oh, there's this many people in this kind of space.
Well, 21 people were arrested downtown. Maybe they do it proportionally that way.
To how many people were
one
arrested?
One person for every 50,000.
Yeah, yeah. The arrests were actually down from the previous year.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they had like 30-some the year before. So.
Okay, that's good to see.
I thought for as busy as it was and for as crowded as it was actually a fairly calm crowd.
It was. I thought really was actually a lot of families, though. It helps to kind of counterbalance some of the drunkenness that goes on. A lot of smaller children, you know, older people. Mm-hmm. So there's that mix of families, I think, which kind of balances out some of the other elements.
Right. So going into it, you had recommended that start off the day at Flannery's. And this time I thought I'm gonna follow the Jeff Longsworth how to do St. Patrick's Day.
I tried to patent this, but it got held up in court.
Right. The book hasn't come out.
Yeah,
maybe next
pending.
Year.
Pending patent.
So you said get to Flannery's, you know, before the sunrise. You were bragging about how awesome it is to watch the sunrise with the Guinness. So I get there at 7:20.
You did beat me there.
And Jeff's not there. And then it's 7:30. And Jeff's not there. And Jen was gonna go out later. She didn't want to do the 7:30 in the morning thing at Flannery's. So I'm there by myself because I figured my good friend Jeff is gonna be there, like ready to kick off the day. And I don't think you got there till almost 8:00.
No, 7:40.
What happened? What
we
was the whole
had to park.
Weren't you gonna
longer.
Take a cab?
Yeah, we did change. We changed that up because the cabs sometimes aren't reliable. And I called one. I got a little nervous. So then I just drove. So there was. I was down there before 7:45, which was the worst case scenario for me.
Did you call a cab and then cancel it?
Call didn't show up, so I just decided to drive.
Okay, because sometimes cabs will blacklist you if you don't. If they come and you're not there, they'll
cancel it. So I might
be
blacklisted.
You might be blacklisted. Yeah. I wouldn't call that cab again.
Yeah.
He's gonna take you somewhere that you don't want to go.
We've been waiting for this call. Longswitch just called in. He's gotta go to the airport.
So I was with you pretty much for the first half of the day, if you want to, and then somehow you lasted longer than me, but if you want to recap some of our places.
Well, let's go through real quick chronologically. Flannery's, was that as good as you thought it would be to start off?
Yeah, it was good.
Great
you know,
crowd.
It wasn't too crazy. Again, it was like crowded, but not like I feel like I'm going to be stampeded on. It was a very good mix. Everyone was very cordial and people definitely drinking and having a good
time. I
feel
like also the giddiness was real high.
A high
like
level
people
of
are just like it's all before you. It's early. Yeah. You gotta feel that in the room.
High on the giddy
meter. Whereas at the end of the day, it's like despair, you know, and depression, and like you have the two extremes of emotion. So that's like the before.
Yeah, I hit that. I hit that later in the afternoon. But we talk about that later.
So Flannery's is a great Irish pub to start off.
And you had kind of an experience with an Irish coffee.
Yeah, they put salt instead of sugar in it.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, man, this doesn't taste good at all.
So Jeff orders an Irish coffee, a couple in, he orders an Irish coffee, and he takes a sip of it, and he's like, oh, they put way too much,
Was it Jameson maybe?
It was Jameson, yeah. Like, oh, it's too much Jameson here, too much.
It tasted like...
I can't drink it.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? So I take a sip, and I'm like, okay, this is disgusting, but it didn't taste like Jameson, it tasted like salt. And sure enough, your buddy went up to the bar, and they had put salt into the Irish coffee instead of sugar.
Yeah.
A common mistake.
Right.
A common mistake. Right. So.
So crisis averted. Then we headed down to the party at Lindsay and Katie's place,
yep.
Which was fun.
Good times.
Got to have some cinnamon rolls. I rushed the dessert tray there, which
you forgot
nice.
To remind me that I had met Lindsay before.
Right. That was really awkward.
I had forgotten.
Yeah. I kind of want to leave you out there and see what happened.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm horrible with remembering things.
That was awkward for everyone.
So yeah, I think she felt worse than I did.
We all felt bad just being around it.
You should have made yourself more noteworthy then. You should have done something cooler.
Yeah, that's on her.
Yeah,
that's clearly on her.
That is on her, Lindsay. You got to step your game up next time. I'm probably not going to be invited back. Not that I was invited this time. So
first
really,
only.
What do I care? Yeah. She didn't invite me to the party anyway.
You had a nothing to lose mentality that whole time you were there. So from there, we headed to House of Blues, which is my favorite part of the day. Boys from County Hell in the Cambridge room. What did you think of that?
It was good. I like the Boys from County Hell. Yeah. I had forgotten who they were. We ran into them. I heard them for the first time at Oyster Fest over at Stone Mad a few months back and had forgotten. But yeah, they were definitely awesome. Although we went upstairs and they actually have those stadium type seatings where you can watch the big stage.
Right.
And because the Boys from County Hell were playing the smaller stage, we didn't get to hang out there for too often. But I liked the seats up there too. It was spacious and you could like get a seat and watch Brian or Joe.
Yeah.
It wasn't both of them.
Yeah, I think it was Brian, the smaller one.
Yeah, yeah. The smaller. I don't think that either one of them are really like working regularly.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but they're
still doing gigs like this.
But I feel like if I was mayor of Cleveland, my first order of business would be to put them back on the radio. They're an institution.
I don't know if that's a mayor's job.
Well, I would make it happen.
But you could have them on this show. Maybe he could be
They need to be on the air. They've been here so long, native Clevelanders.
He could be our intern. That's when you know you've really hit rock bottom.
Right. If they're working for us.
Yeah.
They're on the air for 20 years, and now they're coming to my house every Monday night.
I see you wrote down here on the rundown, you wrote zinc.
Zinc.
Which you're a jerk because you know that it's no longer
Hodges,
zinc.
Hodges.
It is Hodges. So Hodges isn't open, but they actually had their patio open. And we got there right around noon when the sun was directly overhead. It was,
I took a picture of it, that Facebook picture. It was a great scene. All these people in green and the sun.
And
you would have thought it was a July day. Yeah.
Now, I think that's what started to do me in because I think the sun, after not having been exposed to the sun for like 6 months and drinking all this beer, I think that's when I started to
see it. You were starting to fade.
Yeah. Could you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there, we went to Clevelander, and the tipping point was when you got those Yingling bottle, the tall cans.
Well, you told me not to get any light beers, and that's all they had, that and Yingling. So, yeah.
I mean, I was okay with it, but I could tell that was like the final nail in your proverbial coffin.
I didn't know that Yingling makes 24-ounce cans, but they do.
Yeah.
They do. So
we had the Yinglings, went to see about 15 minutes of the parade. We walked down East 9th.
Yeah.
We came back, and I could tell you said, I think that's it. About 2 o'clock. Now, not a bad run
for you. Yeah, so I was in bed just before 3.
Yeah.
Took about a 3-hour nap.
So after you were gone,
I don't understand. How did you keep going, though?
There's no other option.
In the beginning, I was pacing myself with
you. So was I.
Were you as drinking as much as me?
Yeah, I was with beer for beer.
I don't feel like I was drinking a lot more than you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you just, I have a stronger will.
So what did you do after
that? But Jimmy, you understand, that's not an option for me. Like, I knew that the day would not end at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
If I was alone somewhere, I'd still be, keep going. You got to keep going.
I guess I didn't decide. Earlier.
Yeah.
I just said, oh, I'm just going to. I wasn't as committed.
You had a defeatist look about you.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I treat life.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah.
So I ended up, it was so crowded at Clevelander, Panini's, East 9th, where we kind of left off, where we split.
Right.
It was so overwhelming. I said, you know what? I'm going to regroup in Tremont because it's getting a little too much. The crowd's huge.
How'd you get back to Tremont?
I got a ride.
Okay.
in my car that I drove.
Oh, okay.
So right. I drove. I was fine at that point. Okay, I had a sandwich and some water. So
that cures being drunk.
I drove back to Tremont.
Everyone who's drinking should carry a sandwich. Instead of don't drink and drive, it's like if you're going to drink and drive, have a sandwich first.
And water.
Yeah.
But I didn't keep telling you about that water I ordered, though, didn't I?
That cures
I had a water early
That's
on.
That's true.
And I said you should have gotten that water.
That's true, yeah, yeah. Because after that, that was kind
that,
of the
That was a turning point. So anyway,
I should have had a water.
I had friends at Treehouse, another group of friends around the patio as I pulled up at 3 o'clock. The timing was perfect. Pulled up. This is my part two of the day. Starts here. Pulled up, sat in the patio for 2 hours. Other friends came and met me there. Then went to the Harp, another great Irish place.
Yeah, good call.
Had some corned beef there, another Guinness. And then ended up down at Stone Mad, kept going west. Uh-huh. And Stone Mad's an awesome Irish bar.
Yeah, how was the crowd at Stone Mad?
Not as big as you would have thought, really? Just because I think that everything was centered a little east of there downtown. I think they had people coming home maybe later. I was there around 7. It was okay, but not great.
I was actually just up the street from you. I was at, once I took my nap, like 3-hour nap, I woke up and went to Latitude 41 for like a later dinner. And it is weird having a hangover at like 7 o'clock
during
the
day.
Evening.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Yeah. But then Sunday, I was fine. Sunday, still got more than 8 hours of sleep, despite taking that nap, and then I was fine.
So that was it for my day. Stone Mad ended it. I was home at 9:30, and that's a pretty full day.
You know what I noticed? That there was more food trucks out. I mean, there were. Hodgepodge was, of course, at Hodges. Dim and Dem, someone was also right there in Euclid. Yeah. But I saw there was a lot more food trucks.
They're in Tremont. Yeah, they were spread out. That must have been a pretty good day for them.
It had to be. I heard a lot of them ran out of food at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
The new cupcake shop, Colossal Cupcakes, that opened on Friday. They sold out. Colossal Cupcakes sold 3,000 cupcakes before 4 o'clock on Friday.
Jeez.
And which the cupcakes are like $375, so they had to sell like $10,000 worth of cupcakes on opening day. And then on Saturday, I heard they were mobbed too because – drunk people love cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. Cupcakes are perfect. If you see a cupcake truck after drinking, you immediately go there.
Yeah.
And then I go on stage real quick. There was a St. Patrick's Day Survivor Party, which is more and more popular in Cleveland. Treehouse does it. Stone Man does it. The day after St. Patrick's Day, kind of a way to get back to normal. You can't immediately go back to regular life.
Right.
You have to sort of phase it out.
Yeah.
So the boys from County Hill got to see them one more time. The boys played Stone Mad Sunday afternoon.
You follow them everywhere.
So I was there yesterday from like 4 to 7. Which was a great way. I like that it transitions you back out. You can't just go cold turkey. So that was the rest of the weekend.
It is good. So a record not only set from attendance, 500,000, but also for temperature. We had record high days. So
yep, record 77 was the record. 72 was a previous record. So we beat it by 5 degrees. Unbelievable.
Definitely a day to remember. It was good times.
Yes.
Another day to remember, Jeff, is going to be the opening of the 36th annual Cleveland International Film Festival. How'd you like that transition?
That was perfect.
And Brian, bring in Patrick.
Is there a buzzer? Do you have to buzz that room open?
So we have Patrick Shepard. He is the associate director at the Cleveland International Film Festival. He was with us last year before the film festival opened. So I think we can call him friend of the show. Friend of the show, Patrick Shepard. Thank you for joining us
tonight. Oh, I'm so honored to be here. And this is my first show as a guest in the post Jeremy Borger married era.
Oh, really?
Yes. Do you sense a difference, Patrick? Because I do.
I do. I do.
Well, what's
there's a hue. There's a glow.
Yeah, yeah. And this is also the first time that you've been in front of a microphone on this show.
Yes.
Oh,
before,
yes.
Before, we all just kind of gathered around.
We would huddle around a laptop and yell in it.
Right. One of those old like gramophones that you had to turn and speak into the. Anyway,
I do like the addition of the master board, though. It is quite the
we're really
to the show.
We're really successful.
We are very successful. We think if we just keep saying that, eventually
we'll believe
it will happen.
And we'll believe it.
We're really successful. That's what we tell our moms. Mom, we're really successful. We are really successful. So, Patrick, thanks for joining us. So this year's film festival, what is different from last year, from previous years?
Well, we're excited to open this Thursday, March 22nd, and for the second year in a row, we're taking over all of Tower City Cinemas, so we will be having 40 programs a day after starting on Friday, because we'll have the big opening night film and gala on Thursday night, and then for the next 10 days, it's 40 programs a day, films morning, noon, and night. I'd say one of the things that we're most excited about this year is a focus on filmmakers program. We received a major grant from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and they're enabling us to reach out to different populations of filmmakers. This year, it'll be the African diaspora. Next year, it'll be Latino filmmakers. And in 2014, it'll be LGBT filmmakers. And that's the same year as the Gay Game. So not only are we bringing their films in, but we're bringing all the filmmakers in as well. So very excited about that.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I have to talk about the covers that you have. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, just last year, was that the first time you started doing different covers? They're almost like collector's items?
It varies from year to year. There are some years where you'll just have one cover, but we did have the triptych last year, and we do have it again this year with our Be Carried Away image campaign.
Yeah, this is it's a very whimsical, mm-hmm. I think that would be a good word to describe
good
it.
Good word.
Mm-hmm. Whimsical cover. There's, and I'm sure everyone you've seen around around town on various billboards and signs, there's either, I think there's, three of them. There's one, the rhinoceros, mm-hmm. the whale, and then there's another one with a couple of different balloons.
Correct.
Yep. Holding items. How does this get designed? Who designs these covers?
Twist Creative, an agency right in Ohio City, has worked with us, quite frankly, since the 29th Film Festival.
Okay.
So they've been with us for many, many years, and they really work to kind of capture the essence of the film festival, and we're all about making people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you totally nailed it when you said whimsical, because that's exactly what this campaign is. And one of my personal favorite parts of the campaign is the fact that the animals are being carried over the city of Cleveland. So you see like a terminal tower, and I just got a sneak peek of our trailer, which will debut on opening night, and you're going to be seeing a good deal of Cleveland in that animated trailer. So I'm very very excited about that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I always look forward to the trailers, mm-hmm. as well. So this year's is animated, the opening trailer?
It's the first one since our 29th festival where it is completely animated.
Awesome.
John LaGuardia from Fusion Filmworks has produced it. We actually uploaded it to our YouTube channel today, although we've got it set on private because we unveil it on opening night, so we'll make it public at around 7:30 on Thursday, and then it will also ultimately load into our iPhone and our Droid apps as well, so people will be able to watch it from there. I think people are going to love it, especially if you love Cleveland like we do.
Very cool. One of Jen's friend had some of the previous film festivals these covers as posters in her place, and my wife said that the one with the whale she wants to get for our future child's bedroom.
It's, uh-huh.
It's very very appropriate for child's bedroom. So
well, I think you have connections, so you might be able to make that.
Okay, I'll have to talk to someone then. So okay. Yeah.
Well, in terms of local tie-ins, Patrick, every year I know there's a lot of movies that are kind of geared to Cleveland. Anything particularly this year that's geared just for Cleveland or with connections, people that are from Cleveland?
Oh, well, we actually have a very robust local heroes section again this year. In fact, our opening night film is a local heroes film, Nesting. The director, John Sheldenko, actually grew up near Chagrin Falls, and his father is still a professor at the Cleveland Institute of Art. So this is a homecoming of sorts for him. In fact, I think he gets in town tomorrow, and his birthday is actually Wednesday, and then we'll, of course, have the big celebration of opening night on Thursday. And so this is something that rarely happens, but and I think it's because he loved Cleveland so much that he gave the sign-off on this, but very rarely do we actually screen the film again after the opening night gala, because some people, if they don't buy a pass and they don't have access to an opening night ticket, then they never have a chance to see the opening night film. So we're actually screening it as part of the regular program the following day. So I think is going to be a very well-received film. And it's one of those great romantic comedy kind of films that everybody's going to dig. So that's going to be good. We have other connections. Bill W. Is a film about Bill W., one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that was founded in Akron. So we're going to see a lot of talk about that. Dirty Energy is by a local filmmaker, and that is connected. It's a documentary about the Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. We have King Me, which is also by a local filmmaker, and That's about some local Checkers championships. So all sorts of local connections in various films. And if you go to our website, we have what we call sidebars or sections. And if you click on the local heroes link, you'll see all the local films that are listed. And if you download our iPhone or our Droid apps, you can also sort the films through categories on those tabs. And that's quite frankly one of the easiest ways to kind of sort through the festival, even though I know a lot of people like to have the book and the website so they can watch trailers and click the links of the websites of the films and the like. So.
And clevelandfilm.org is where you can get all that information.
Yes. Yes. Indeed.
Have you opened more screens this year? Cause I see 8 across the top and I don't, am I crazy? Has there always been that many screens playing at once?
Well, I'll be honest. When I started with the festival back in 1999, there were 4 screens and we've slowly expanded. And we did take over Tower City, all of it last year, but we've continued to kind of fine tune and polish how we program it because it used to be such a way where there was just a strict round of films and now it's more staggered, but certainly our capacity is larger than ever. And there's just not a better place for a film festival than Tower City Center. The parking's free courtesy of Forest City Enterprises and the Ratners, as long as you self-park at the Tower City Center lot. And of course you can take RTA.
I wonder with the casino opening next year, how that'll impact things.
That's a very good question. In fact, they were supposed to open this Monday, March 26th, which would have been day 5 of the film festival. And I'll tell you, we've met with some of the casino officials. They're very, very nice people. And they have a lot ahead of them because they're opening on May 14th. And we'll have a whole, I'd say, 10 months to figure out how the equilibrium of parking lands. Of course, they're building that brand new parking deck on the corner of Prospect and Ontario. And I think, you know, they're going to get a better sense of what their income is and how quickly that phase 2 will build up on the river. But it's very exciting for downtown Cleveland, along with all the other projects, including the Medical Mart, the Flats East Bank, and the like.
Yeah, I think anything that's going to bring people downtown, whether it's, even at the same time as, you know, as you guys are there, like next year when the casino's open, it's just more reasons to go. Oh, you know, we can, you know, instead of just being able to go stop for somewhere to eat, because there's some downtimes between some movies, you know, maybe just put some money on lucky number 16 on the roulette table or something like that. One of the things I like about the film festival is being able to see so many different types of movies. Mm-hmm. Like coming up this Friday, one of the movies that Jen and I got tickets for is Michael.
Mm.
I'm sorry, this is this Friday. I forget what day it is. But anyway, it's about a guy that is keeping a kidnapped boy in his home for 5 months. So that's more on the lines of those creepy type films.
A little edgy with Michael.
And yeah. that was the first one.
I don't have the page open. Yeah. Is that one of those adult only ones?
It's 100. Oh yeah, it does say adult.
Okay,
only.
So that warns the patrons, but for some reason it also tends to drive ticket sales.
And it's from Germany, which has got to be creepy, too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, our artistic director saw it, and then he went to a reception immediately thereafter, and then he was talking to the actor who played this Michael guy and was completely freaked out because the guy was so creepy throughout the whole film because the memory was so fresh of the performance from the film.
Wow.
So we will have 156 feature films and 165 feature films and 156 short subjects from over 60 countries. And one of the great things about the film festival is you get to meet a lot of filmmakers, and oftentimes you'll walk down the hallways and you'll hear completely different languages being spoken. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, the shorts are really awesome too, especially, and there's a whole bunch of different types of mm-hmm. short programs available, such mm-hmm. as...
Well, there's kind of the basic mix of variety of shorts, and those are what we call the numbered programs, but there are also Ohio shorts programs, so those are connected, have lots of local connections. We have what we call Hollywood shorts. We have family shorts, so if you've got kids, it's appropriate to bring kids to our family shorts programs. We have LGBT shorts, so it's just a little bit of everything in there.
The late night shorts are my favorite, Jeff. Okay. Like those are the ones you can go in. It's just, again, kind of that. I guess I just like weird kind of.
It sounds
cinema.
Like it. What you've described, what you want to see so far.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're learning more about Jeremy by the moment. This dark side was not eminent in the pre-marriage episode. Right. I will say
it's maybe a lot darker. Yes, marriage is really
there's no
dark
filter anymore.
That's right. It's all. I don't have to try to be someone I'm not anymore. I have the ring. The deal is sealed, so I can be my creepy self. But yeah, the midnight shorts and shorts in general, because a lot of movies, you know, if you start sitting down on them and you realize, oh, this might not be my thing with the short, you don't have to worry about it because it's going to be over in a couple minutes and there'll be another one. So it's a good way to get a nice mix.
Yeah, and we have what we call popcorn for lunch, and we kind of ripped off the Indians promotion of lunch in three innings. although we're on the food side, we don't provide food. You still have to go to a concession to pick that up. But, you know, we program shorts programs on the weekdays at noon, and they last, you know, 90 to 100 minutes. And, of course, since any given short can be a minute up to 30 minutes, you can come late. You can arrive on time and leave early, or you can stay for the whole thing. But if you just want to take your lunch hour and watch some short films, that's a great way to do it.
I feel like there might be some people out there listening that have never been to the film festival before and see the signs and hear people talking about it and they're like really interested in wanting to do it. But if you just go down to Tower City once the film festival starts on Thursday, the 27th, it can be or the 22nd. I'm sorry, I was trying to. My eyes are going too. The 22nd, it can be a little bit intimidating. So what would be your recommendation for newcomers? What's an easy, like, step-by-step, don't be afraid, here's if you haven't done it before, what would you recommend a newcomer do?
Well, I would certainly advise anybody to buy tickets in advance. Okay. Because we never say a screening is sold out. We do put screenings on standby after a certain number of tickets have been sold. So after you scan through the website and or scan through the guide, make your selections, purchase the tickets in advance, and, you know, try to, if your schedule allows, make a half day of it, or at least make an extended evening of it. Come downtown, you know, have dinner somewhere. You're right next to East 4th Street, West 6th Street. You know, obviously there's restaurants right there at Tower City as well. And get there early so you can get through. I mean, we can be a little crowded, but it's organized chaos. So, you know, everything is, you know, pretty much handled from that end. But we always have people out there trying to put the messaging of where you're supposed to go, if you have tickets to what. And this is a little bit of inside baseball, but our growth would have been stopped years ago if we weren't able to rent that RTA walkway. Because back in about 2006, our lines just kept running up against what's that, basically a garage door at the RTA walkway. So now we pay RTA to open that up, so our lines can now basically go all the way, well, about halfway down to where the arena is. So at any given time, you can have 8 or 9 different lines going one way and standby lines and the like. So we just invite you to come down, get acclimated, and we want you to have a good time. And don't be bashful if there's an issue or if you have a question. There's people with radios running around all over the place. But, you know, going back to the fortune to being at Tower City, I mean, our attendance has grown by 122% since 2003. Last year we had a record attendance of 78,030, but we always make great strides to try to make it a better festival, not necessarily a bigger one. So it's not like we've got a goal, like we need X number of people. We just want the people that come downtown to have a great experience. And that's what all of our notes and that's what all of our efforts are around.
And have you, is Tower City the only place that you can buy tickets?
Physically, yes. I mean, okay. Of course, our website, clevelandfilm.org, you can buy tickets 24/7. You can call our box office. The hours are Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday, noon to 5. And there's a toll-free number, 1-877-304-FILM, that you can reach the box office and order your tickets there. And probably at this point, tickets would go at will call, and the will call tickets are placed right outside the entrance of Tower City Cinemas.
And how long do you recommend somebody come before the movie? So if your show's at 8, what time should you get there?
That's a very good question. Because
thank you, Patrick.
It is, but it is because if you are new, you would normally think if I've got tickets to an 8 o'clock show, I just need to be there by 8 o'clock. You actually need to be in your seat by 7:45 or 15 minutes before showtime, or you're not guaranteed a seat. And that may not be a problem on a Monday morning where we're in an off peak realm. But Saturday at 8 o'clock, those are going to be very, very packed theaters. So you want to allow time for parking, for concession, for freshening up. Obviously, if you want to do dinner beforehand, you know, factor all that in. I mean, try not to rush yourself, because when you do have thousands and thousands of people, you know, in and around Tower City Cinemas, it's not like you can just walk directly to your auditorium. So again, we work very hard to make sure that it's streamlined and efficient, but do allow that time.
Okay.
We got to talk about the movie Misconnections, Jeremy, because that's really something we first noticed, and that jumped out at us.
Right. So, you know, as regular listeners of the show will know, we do a segment here on Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy called Misconnections, where we look at the section of Craigslist entitled Misconnections, and talk about those on the show. In fact, maybe we should pull one up.
We should just to give Patrick a feel for the segment.
Yeah, I'd love to experience this in person.
Do you want to pull up?
I'll pull it up. Yeah.
Okay, you pull it up. So anyway, evidently a enterprising filmmaker has taken this idea one step further. He you know, the show is from the USA. He's probably a fan of the show and has heard our Misconnections. Yeah.
We can only assume.
Inspired by.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Inspired
by. Does that say that in there?
I'm sure he'll give some credits to us somewhere in at misconnectionsmovie.com. But anyway, this is about a guy. This is a comedic romance for today's internet savvy dating scene. So the guy's recovering from a breakup and a banal job. But rather than confront his problems head on with the help of some loyal friends, Neil finds the perfect distraction on the Craigslist Misconnections page. Lonely women write posts, and we found that it's typically guys going after women more than it is women going after guys. But, you know, all right, suspension of disbelief. We'll go along with it for the movie. Lonely women write posts describing details of chance encounters, a little eye contact, or passing glance that could have been their knight in shining armor, only he got away. Now, Patrick, are you familiar? Do you have one up here?
And I'd like to give Patrick the quick format.
Right.
Because this is important.
Okay.
You have to, yeah, for those
there's
not
protocol.
Familiar, yeah.
There is a protocol. With Misconnections, you have to end it with some proof that it's really you, the person you're trying to find.
Okay.
So the people, the veterans of Misconnections, will end the post with saying, what was I wearing? What did we talk about? Because that's a way to wrap it up. Otherwise, anyone could be writing you.
Mm-hmm. So the idea here is if you're at the supermarket and you see somebody going through the cereal aisle and you want to talk to that person, but, they walk out of the supermarket first. The smart thing that you do is you immediately go to Craigslist and you write about this.
You race home past her in the parking lot to get your computer.
You don't want to.
I was going to say, summoning your courage is not
this narrative. You might even run over her as you're leaving to get to your computer.
Right, you go home because everyone, every night, checks Misconnections to see.
Because otherwise, you'll miss. You got to check it all the time.
To see if any connection
is missed. Then the system is totally ruined.
Earlier that day. So then you write something like this.
So this is a man for woman, 29, in Brunswick, the Brunswick Shell Station. Gas stations are very popular, I noticed, in Misconnections.
Uh-huh.
I walked past you this morning and noticed your boots. Then I got to see the rest of you. Drop dead gorgeous, stunning looks and smile.
Now, do you think he saw her boots first? Like
and
the door
up.
Was open, maybe? Or he was on the ground? Maybe he dropped
He probably
something.
Had fallen.
Yeah. Okay.
They're very clumsy, a lot of these people.
Yeah, yeah.
You seem to have a very friendly disposition as we casually flirted. I asked you if you knew if they had any of a certain fruit. You said no, and I walked away for a moment. Because clearly when you go to get produce, you go to a gas station.
Right.
That's I get all my oranges and everything. Apples, yeah. Yeah. I go
and
to the
shelf. Do they have kiwis? Are
they in season?
Right.
Because if they are, they will have them. Before I had the chance to introduce myself properly, he seems like he's a very old school type of guy, properly introduce himself.
Yeah.
and ask you for your number, you were gone. Now, I have a hard time believing that. I feel like if they're having that conversation about the fruit and he's interested in her, he already said she was gorgeous.
Right.
Wouldn't you have the chance to say, what's your number? Or did she then sprint to her car?
Or, hey, nice boots.
Right. Some sort of.
Do you want to go out?
So apparently she left very quickly.
Yeah.
He couldn't even get the words out.
Right.
So he says, I really hope you felt the same spark I did. If you did and you see this, what fruit was it that I was looking for?
So there you
go. That's a misconnection.
So what do we think the batting average on these things?
We have to talk about this. It can't be 0.00 because even one in a million gives you some decimal.
Uh-huh.
So I got to think it's 0.001.
I mean, I'm kind of curious as the people that write these, is it the same group of men or women writing these multiple times, or is every misconnection the first time they've ever written a misconnection?
Yeah, I feel like it's a multiple offender.
Like I'm a long-time reader, first-time writer kind of thing.
Right.
But have there been, I say this completely honestly, has there been some kind of chronicle or article or something that has demonstrated examples of people actually making the
connection? A great question. I got to think there have been connections made. And our friend Cammy, who's been on the show before, she claims that this actually has people have met, gotten married from misconnections. Well, but the percentage, I mean, that's the number that I think has got
to
be.
So this makes me want, Jeff, that's why I said this is the perfect movie for you and I to see. Yes. Now, there's multiple showings of it.
We appreciate misconnections.
If you have the film guide, it's on page 101. But it's Thursday evening, Saturday afternoon, Thursday, March 29th, Saturday afternoon, March 31st, and March 30th.
We are going to go. Jeremy, we should host the panel after that movie.
Right.
Is this possible, Patrick? Right. I don't want to put you on the spot. Let's just see if.
Let me ask you this, though. If you see any misconnections posting about people who are at the misconnections screening,
yes,
please let me know. Because maybe we could even look into the Film Festival database.
We can get into credit cards?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we're going to do
that. Oh, okay.
That would be perfect.
That would be an awesome segment, seriously. Huh. I bet you will have some.
I was at the misconnection screening. Oh, that's perfect.
A misconnection? Because we've always talked about misconnections on misconnections. We've seen that before.
My mind was just blown.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm glad we got to introduce you to something a little new. But that's a movie we're going to see. We'll have to get a time on that.
It reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where Kramer is lost in downtown Manhattan in the corner of First Avenue and First Street. And he said, I'm on First and First. I'm in the nexus of the universe.
Oh, and another thing that we saw, so the 1 millionth attendee walks through the doors, and do they get a prize?
Oh, yes.
Free popcorn?
Yeah, well, more than that, actually. it's quite the prize package. They'll get two all-access passes to this festival and the next festival, so that's a $2,600 value right there. And then United Airlines has donated a pair of round-trip airfare tickets. And we'll throw in some merchandise. So whoever this is, they're going to be very happy.
So how do you determine who the 1 millionth person is?
You know, I will say that it since we don't have a counter at the entrance door. I mean, we have counters. We have a very comprehensive system of people going into auditoriums. But we have lines of pass holders on the inside, and we have lines of ticket holders on the outside. So we're basically going to monitor the attendance round by round, and when we get close to that 1 million, then we're just going to take our best educated guess. It's unfortunately the science isn't as exact as it would be the Rock Hall when they seem to have a new millionth customer times 7 or whatever, but they know exactly how many people have walked through that door, and they're walking in single file, whereas people are coming in from all over the place for us.
So, I think that about wraps it up. So the 36th Annual Cleveland International Film Festival, you can find all the information you want at www.clevelandfilm.org. It kicks off this Thursday, March 22nd, and runs through Sunday, April 1st. Patrick Shepherd is the associate director and friend of the show. Patrick, thanks for coming down.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for the invite. Let me just make one quick pitch. If you have never been to closing night for the film festival, you haven't experienced the film festival in its entirety. And it's not like the opening night gala where it's a fundraiser and there's a special price for it. Anybody who goes to a film in the closing night round is invited around the fountain in the Tower City Center Skylight Concourse. Last year, we had 1,800 people on the first level and on the around the second and third levels as well. And it's just, it's an amazing event with a brief program, but it's like a big pep rally. So we'd encourage you to come to our closing night reception on Sunday, April 1st.
Patrick, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Jeff, now it's time for sports. Now, you and Patrick.
Yes.
I guess Patrick likes sports, too.
Yes.
So you guys can talk, and I'm just going to get some more water.
Because Jeremy's more of the tech guy. He's the computer guy in the show. He's not really into sports, so this is good. So, Patrick, you mentioned this when you came in, the best March Madness. You've been watching March Madness, and we both saw the OU game last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Incredible game. And I always like, I'm a big CSU fan. I always like the mid-major teams just because I feel like it means more when they make a run like that. Ohio State, you kind of expect them to be in the mix. Mm-hmm. But for OU, and I have a lot of friends, the excitement. I was out at Flying Monkey and people were screaming. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so great to see that. So you obviously feel the same way.
Oh, very much so. I went to Bowling Green State University, a MAC school. I love it when the MAC teams do well. And the MAC actually has a history. I mean, Kent State has made runs. Ohio's made runs. Akron has made runs over the last 15 years or so. And that's just what makes the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, I think, the single best sporting event of the year. And it's the one drawback of my job in that I don't get to fully experience it. But watch this segue. In terms of technology, I will say that I also just got an iPad.
Oh, boom.
For the first time.
Comes back to the iPad.
But the NCAA app on the iPad is just mind-blowing. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And it's what I always wanted when I was in college because, you know, back then, you know, back in the Stone Age, I mean, not all the games would be on. Cable channels, instead of being thousands of channels back in the early 90s, there were a couple hundred. And the fact that you can monitor everything on your iPad, watch any game live is just amazing and just a great example of the use of technology on the iPad.
Jeff, technology and sports. What's going through your mind right now?
See, now my mind is blown.
See, now you're curious. You're like, but
I gotta dust off the old iPad.
Have you seen that app?
I didn't see that.
Oh,
app.
You have to download it.
Yeah, do you have any apps?
I do have. There was a Horizon League app for the Cleveland State League.
Okay,
but they didn't make much of a run. It wasn't very exciting because they were over a couple weeks ago. But now I should have done that.
The app's deleted itself.
It automatically deletes when the last team is out, and then smoke comes up from the iPad.
But you know what? The other great app is the MLB At Bat app. With
now this,
the
I gotta
Indians,
get. Okay,
the Indians opening day is 2 weeks from Thursday.
Yep. Thursday the 5th.
April 5th.
Yep.
305, I bought this app already, so I haven't even been following some of the spring training games. You can listen to, even if you're not by a radio, you can listen to the radio, and of course, all sorts of stats. It's a great app.
Yeah. Even I've heard about that app, Jeff.
Okay, well, I need to get on that app, because I'm a baseball guy.
Baseball.
So Thursday, 3 o'clock, a tradition in Cleveland, opening day, and they've got Friday off. So it's Thursday day game, Friday off, then Saturday, Sunday. What I want to say is what always kind of gets me disappointed/upset is that second home game, you go from sellout to like 5,000 every year. And it always gets national news. Sports Center will say, hey, look at those Cleveland fans. So I am going to be there. I'm trying to get everyone I know. Saturday's also going to be a good game. Mm-hmm. Let's keep that support going. The Indians look really good this year, Jeremy. And we say that every year, I know. But they really are. They feel like they've got a window now the next year and two to really make some noise, do some damage.
What's the date for opening day?
Thursday, April 5th.
Thursday.
3:05.
Okay.
But they're going to be good this year. I mean, they spent some money. They've got some veterans mixed in with some good young players that are coming up. They're going to be an exciting team. You saw a preview last year. Through May 15th, they were the best team in baseball. So you kind of got to feel what this team can do. They had some injuries and some other things, but I think you're going to like what you see. So it's tribe time.
I like going to Indians games. It's a good
time. Yeah, you do.
And you got season.
I'll be there for 80-some games, hopefully.
I'll tell you what, Jeremy. I think I have an extra pair of home opener tickets, so if you and Jen want to go.
Wow,
you can be part of the crew.
You got to come down.
He's my in for posters. Yeah.
Indians. You are getting something for Patrick. It's all he's doing is giving you, hooking you up with things.
He gave me the ride today. That's so, right.
I'm going to drive him around everywhere.
That's a $1,000 ride, man.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, well, that about wraps it up for the show today, episode 59. Patrick, thanks again so much for
coming. Thanks
very
much, Patrick.
Thank you.
Film Festival kicks off on Thursday, 22nd. Go to clevelandfilm.org. There's a lot of awesome shows. So just pick one. If you just go to one.
Yeah.
Start there. That's what I did years ago. Just went to one, and then it becomes addicted, and now I spend entire weekends there. As far as our show, you can catch all our past episodes at radioshowonline.com. And shoot us an email sometime. Hatemail@radioshowonline.com. Tell us what you'd like us to talk about. Who do you like us to have on the show? If you want to be on the show, I will come pick you up. Yep.
As long as you have some sort of tickets waiting for us.
Exactly. Exactly. I work for Film Fest posters.
We'll drive and, for tickets.
Indians tickets. Yeah.
I was kind of on the way, to be fair, right?
Sorry, it was a too far out.
It's not like you drove out to Broadview Heights or anything. I was exactly. Lorraine and 25th.
There's a certain radius that yeah. I'll drive from our studios. All right. For Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy, this is Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
Have a week.